The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, so maybe there's a cancel culture out there and a lack of free speech or an incursion on free speech. An incursion! Kind of sounds like Russia-Ukraine. That might be popping in the next 24 or 48 hours. Welcome back. It is the Steve Noble Show. I am Steve Noble. Good to be with you. Hope you had a good weekend. First and foremost, right off the bat, no, not happy Valentine's Day. That's secondary. Very, very happy 21st birthday. I can't believe I'm saying that. 21st birthday. No, not to me. You're so kind. I appreciate you assuming it was my birthday. 21st birthday to our number three child, to Clay Wentworth Noble. 21. How did that happen? It's just ridiculous how quickly these kids grow up. So we have a 26, a 24. Amelia turned 24 on February 4th. Clay turns 21 today, and Caroline bringing up the rear at the caboose on the train at 17. So how did we get here so quickly? I have no idea. Happy birthday, Clay. I love you, buddy. See you tonight. Steaks on the grill. So a lot to talk about. And then otherwise, you know, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Heart, heart, heart. I'm doing the little heart symbol here in the studio. There, that's all you get. Okay, speaking of hearts, want to be happy? You want to make something to make you happy? As the COVID stand falls, as the COVID empire falls, and remember that line we started using last week, truth is treason when you live in an empire of lies, okay? And we've lived in an empire of lies for a while now. But this is really cool. We got the video ready to go, Josh. This is, check it out. This is how I'm feeling as mask mandates and vaccine mandates start falling, because it's all about political science. It's never been about the science. And so the political winds are changing. So this was in Las Vegas in a little classroom. These are really little kids. I think they're like, I don't know, second grade, third grade. And the teacher has a big announcement for him. So make sure this is big and loud, Josh, okay? Check this out. Listen to what's going on when the teacher makes this announcement. All right, let's play it.
Starting tomorrow, we don't have to wear masks anymore.
They're all like dancing all over the room, jumping up and down. They're screaming bloody murder.
Is anybody excited?
They're all, listen to that. They're all dancing, running around the room. It's chaos, right? And so that's the announcement. That starting tomorrow, you're no longer going to be lab rats. Woo! You're no longer going to be lab rats and tools in perhaps your parents, but not all your parents, but some of your parents. Certainly in the administration there, the school board, school teachers union, all those guys. You're just a little, you're a lab rat. What else are you? Oh, that's right. You're a convenient little tool for virtue signaling. Look, we're trying to save the world, so that's why we mask up our little kids who statistically have 0% chance of dying from COVID. And then let's get them it's not a vaccine, let's get them the shot. And so they're all screaming, right? They're screaming. They're so happy. And I'm right there with them. Man, I'm a third, fourth grader, second grader, first grader, high schooler, PhD or whatever, that all of a sudden. Because that's what, I mean, we're going to be paying this bill for years, what we've done with our kids, right? So speaking of kids with mask mandates coming off, do as I say, not as I do. Rules for thee, not for me. Did you watch the Super Bowl yesterday? I was really hoping the Bengals would win. I love an underdog story. But they didn't. It was a great game. You know, the halftime show, kind of old school 90s rap stuff. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I recognize that song. Okay, whatever. Move along. And then most of the commercials I thought were kind of lame. But then did you notice as you're looking around? Because L.A. and California is still under a mask mandate, right? Except rules for thee, but not for me. Social media erupted after seeing Jay-Z, Charlize Theron. Is it Theron or Theron, the actress? LeBron James, Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, enjoying themselves at the game without a mask. while they were not eating or drinking, a violation, a clear violation, we have it on film, of California's indoor mask mandate that's in place until February 15th. That's tomorrow. Twitter users were quick to point out that children in California are forced to wear masks at schools who are statistically zero. There are a few here and there, and that's all tragic. But when you got 76 million people age 24 down, and 0.0001% of them have died from COVID, that's a statistical zero, okay, statistically insignificant. But they're still being forced to wear masks and eat outside in the rain in some cases. Quote, here's the video of every celebrity without a mask during the Super Bowl, but every kid in California will have to be wearing them tomorrow in school. Clay Travis tweeted, they must all be holding their breaths the entire game, right? Do you do that? Do you run into the store these days without a mask on? Do you hold your breath so you don't infect anybody? Travis was referring to Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, who responded to criticism for being spotted without a mask at a recent Rams game by assuring the public he holds his breath when he removes his mask for photos. Wow. Well, if he had held his breath for the game, he'd be dead. Garcetti was spotted at the Super Bowl and also appeared to not be wearing a mask while talking with friends. Television personality, I would say former, Ellen DeGeneres was also spotted without a mask despite hosting a show that requires guests to wear one. Rules for thee, not for me. Additionally, photos circulated online of children in the Los Angeles Youth Orchestra being forced to wear masks while other adults were not. Virtue signal. California health officials announced last week that the indoor mask mandate would continue until February 15th. However, children in schools will still be required to wear masks once the mandate's lifted. Because of all the people in America, they have the lowest chance of dying from COVID. Statistically insignificant chance, by the way. It's worse if there's a thunderstorm, lightning, car crash, pedestrian accident, bike accident, car accident. They all have a higher chance of dying from that than they do from COVID. So, but don't, hey, listen, in a sober-minded moment here, I know I'm being very snarky, but don't let reality get in the way of your ideology, okay? Just don't do it. Don't let reality get in the way of your ideology, or ideology get in the way of reality. Sorry, I said it backwards. This was interesting, speaking of COVID, and then we'll move on. I got a bunch of other stories today. Life expectancy lowest in states with highest prevalence of obesity. Nobody wants to talk about this, by the way. Nobody wants to talk about obesity, being overweight, because such an enormous percentage of Americans are struggling with their weight, which does tie into COVID, which ties into mortality and rates of mortality. So I'm going to go through that story because nobody wants to hear that, because we're all about free speech today here on the show, as we are with every day. Life expectancy lowest in states with highest prevalence of obesity. How does that factor into COVID? Odds are pretty good that you already know. We'll talk about that. Russia, Ukraine, a bunch of other stuff when we come back right after this. Boy, could write some music. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Go Bengals. Yes, I watched the whole the thing I have a problem with, the whole Super Bowl. I wish the Bengals had won, number one. Number two, I thought the commercials were pretty lame this time. Number three, you know, whatever, on the halftime show. And number four, do you do this? I always do this on the Super Bowl. I just get a bunch of different appetizer stuff, and then I just eat way too much. It's just like gluttony bowl. That's what it turns into. So I did that. But our grandson was over, so it was cool. We had fun and had a blast. So, and happy birthday to Clay today. All right. So speaking of appetizers, life expectancy lowest in states with highest prevalence of obesity. Because a lot of us struggle with this. Okay, I'm not trying to be insensitive. But it's something we haven't talked to. We don't talk about this much in the nation. We don't talk about it. We haven't talked about it much at all in the last 2 years, because it just doesn't work well. When you want to bring an atom bomb to a knife fight, you don't go looking for a knife fight. You cannot do that. So if you want to take control of the entire economy and free speech and everything else, not just here in America, but around the world, well, then everybody's got to be in danger, and you can't start narrowing your focus. You can't start saying people with comorbidities like obesity, people with heart conditions or asthma conditions, whatever. We know what the comorbidities are. You can't do that, because then you can't sell as much stuff. There's not as much control. You can't sell as much stuff. Okay. So that's no good. That's why we don't talk about it. But here's some reality here. This is from life expectancy lowest in states. I don't remember what article I got this from. The Federalist, maybe. Life expectancy was lowest in states with a high prevalence of obesity, according to new data from the CDC. Whenever you hear the CDC now, do you just kind of put an asterisk next to it? That's been another problem here. We don't trust any of these people anymore. So the state with the lowest life expectancy, Mississippi, is also home to the highest proportion of obese residents at nearly 40% of its population. Residents had an average lifespan of 74.4 years, more than 4 years shy of the 2019 national average of 78.8 years. The low level of baseline health in the months preceding COVID-19's outbreak primed the nation for severe outcomes from a virus with which individuals are three times likelier to be hospitalized if infected. Talking about people that struggle with their weight. As a primary comorbidity to COVID-19, in seven out of the top 10 states with the highest viral mortality rate from COVID, okay, more than 35% of the population qualified as obese. Those states included Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Tennessee, West Virginia, Michigan, and Arkansas. Mississippi once again claimed the top spot with 3,867 deaths per million residents as of Thursday night, just this last week. So really a big deal. And then you've got this. This really kind of twists the whole thing. And again, we didn't want to talk about comorbidities, older people specifically, or obesity specifically, because then instead of having this massive party where you can control everything, it limits your control to people that were actually in the crosshairs of COVID for mortality, a much smaller group of people. And so you can't sell nearly as much stuff then. You can't sell as many shots. By the way, they're not vaccines. Look it up. They're technically, by definition, not vaccines. So you got this whole thing. And then tie into that. Have you noticed this? The last few years you've got, because of this whole body shaming thing, this is, again, ideology trumps reality. So we know if you struggle with your weight, that has serious health implications. We all know that. That's not foreign information to anybody. We all know that. So here, back to this article. Contrary to efforts to combat poverty and drug overdoses, this is really sad. However, the underlying epidemic that is obesity continues to worsen amid a growing movement that favors complacency. According to a study from the American Psychological Association, last year, 42% of American adults reported undesired pandemic weight gain, adding an average of 29 pounds. Some people joked and called it the COVID-19, right? But now this is where it gets just really, this is just part of the degradation of mankind. Cultural influencers continue to celebrate weight gain as if the long-term medical consequences were absent. Last year, diabetes, of which obesity is also often an underlying culprit, eclipsed a six-figure death toll for the second consecutive year as celebrities glorify physically harmful lifestyles. Lizzo, for example, is like some Instagram influencer, whatever that means, a primary ambassador for the pro-fat movement, ring in the new year with a celebratory post about her weight gain. So they had a picture in this article. She's really large. She has no clothes on. It's a side shot, so you don't see anything. But she's really large, and just, you know, it's a celebration. You go, girl. Right? Because there is no shame anymore in anything. And then we're just detaching ourselves from reality. So in January, the women's publication Self Magazine launched a project branding obesity as the future of fitness. Pro-fat messaging will only lead to lower lifespans and a heightened severity of future pandemics in the long term and reduce mobility in the short term for the millions buying complacency. And have you noticed that? It's just like all of a sudden there's I'm not saying you should shame anybody, but just look at the health care ramifications of all of this. But the nation and the world, which just continues to cast off reality, because reality also ultimately leads you to a narrative, a meta-narrative over everything, a truth. And we don't want truth, right? We don't want truth. But interestingly enough, you want to know somebody that does want truth, that's pursuing truth more and more? An unlikely subject? He blows me away almost every week now. Bill Maher. All right, Bill Maher on HBO. Because it's just the left and progressives and the New World Order folks are just pushing so far to the extreme that people like Bill Maher, who in many ways is a kind of utilitarian and a libertarian, and he's going to say whatever he wants. He's got that position on HBO because his show's so big. And he just, when we come back from the break, we're going to play this clip when he was talking about Justin Trudeau. And Bill Maher talking about Justin Trudeau and mask mandates and vaccine mandates is just speaking the truth. It's amazing. Because more and more people are waking up. So when I come back from the break, I want to talk about that. We're going to hear from Bill Maher. You can hear it for yourself. And this, actually, we didn't have to edit this at all. We didn't have to put a bunch of bleeps in there because usually he uses a lot of bad language. But he's just nailing it. And usually it's the left using the Hitler reference against the right. But in this case, he uses it against Trudeau, who's ultra left. But more and more people are waking up. And so after that, I'm going to get to this. Yesterday, I was Levi's brand president. I quit so I could be free. And this woman, Jennifer Say, turned down a $1 million severance, which would have included a non-disclosure agreement. And then she shares her story because once she came out against masking of kids and stuff, all of a sudden she's public enemy number one, one of the top people at Levi's, you know, the denim brand, the jeans brand, Levi's. It's a great article. And I'm sharing these things today specifically to encourage you to speak the truth. Especially if you're a follower of Christ, you need to be a truth sayer. Now, you speak the truth with love. You got to make sure you're checking your motivation. But you have to speak the truth, and you have to be willing, like our Savior was, to pay the price for speaking the truth. And right now, none of us have to worry about crucifixion, at least not in this country. But you can get blasted. You can get marginalized. You could lose your job. But if we don't start speaking the truth, if we're not willing to stand up, it just gets worse. What do you think is going to happen when the next pandemic rolls around as a result of gain-of-function research? Thank you, Pope Fauci. What do you think is going to happen then? They pushed half the country right into it, right into subjugation. They're going to come out harder and faster next time. Unless more and more of us, like Canada, like Australia, like around the world, here in America, more and more of us just have to say, forget it. You're not going to force me to do any of that junk. We'll be right back. Amen and amen. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Hey, make sure after the show's over on Facebook Live, because we're banned on YouTube right now. On Facebook Live after the show, we always pray together when the show's over on Facebook Live. My friends on Facebook Live, so if you want to be a part of that, just jump over to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook, the Steve Noble Show page, and you can pray with us. We're going to pray specifically about what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, because they're amassing more. They're getting ready more. I mean, if they don't go in the next 24 or 48 hours, this will be one of the biggest head fakes in history. And so we'll pray for that. Be praying for that, whether you're doing it here on the show or not, because it's very serious. There are going to be a lot of consequences as a result, economic consequences, the price of oil, all kinds of stuff. And if they go in, people are going to die. The U.S. is now shredding their stuff at our embassy in Kiev. I mean, this is serious. And if they're doing that, I think that's them telegraphing that, yeah, we think he's going in. So wars and rumors of wars, right? That's part of the deal. It's all setting up nicely, which doesn't decrease the heartbreak and the need for prayer. So let's make sure we're doing that. Okay, Bill Maher on HBO. I'm going to have to subscribe to HBO. That'll be streaming service number 467 coming into the Noble House, it would appear these days. Like all working, not to work for the weekend. We're working for our streaming services. But Bill Maher talking about Justin Trudeau up in Canada and all the things that Trudeau does, label all these anti-vax people, many of which have been vaxxed, and all the anti-mask people, basically like Jews in 1939 Germany. And Bill Maher's being intellectually honest about this stuff and coming out swinging, and because he's got so many people on the left watching him. I love this. This is great. So this is Bill Maher the other day on HBO, his show on HBO, talking about Justin Trudeau. Let's hit it. Well, that's
Trudeau. I mean, I thought he was kind of a cool Justin Trudeau.
Here we go.
What? You're laughing, but Justin Trudeau. I mean, I thought he was kind of a cool guy. Then I started to read what he said. This is a couple of weeks ago. He was, or maybe this is September, but he was talking about people who are not vaccinated. He said they don't believe in science. They're often misogynistic, often racist. No, they're not.
That was not smart of him at all.
Right. He said, but they take up space. And with that, we have to make a choice in terms of a leader as a country. Do we tolerate these people? Whoa, it's like, tolerate these? Now you do sound like Hitler. And recently he talked about them holding unacceptable views.
Wow. I'm surprised to hear that Trudeau said those things.
You didn't see the blackface? I mean, he's no, I'm kidding about that. I'm not
See the lip.
It was not a good look for him.
Oh, that's
bad. But, I mean, come on. I mean, that's, I think, what gets under people's skin.
All right, so Bill Maher nailing it right there. It sounded like, that's like Nazi Germany-esque. These people have no place in society. They're dangerous. They're a problem. And so how do you deal with the problem? Got to get rid of the problem. And you see that with the way he's handled the Canadian truckers and what's going on up there. This is this condescending, great reset, globalist mentality. There's them, the elite, which is mostly corporatism at this point. And then there's you and me, the plebeians, the little people, the idiots, right? And if you want to have a good life, what you really need is you don't need to own anything. You just need to be handled and helped and told what to do, because the elites, like with the Great Reset, and I'm almost done with Glenn Beck's book, and then I'm going to do a whole show on that again. I've talked about the Great Reset many times in the past, and that it's not some stupid conspiracy theory. This is actually got boots on the ground. They're doing things. This is a movement that's happening all over the world, including here in America and including with our part-time president, Joe Biden. So this is real stuff going on, and you have to be paying attention to it. And you got to be willing to speak out. Okay, you got to be willing to pay a price. Like this person, Jennifer Say, who was the brand president at Levi's, Levi's brand president. I quit so I could be free. I turned down $1 million severance in exchange for my voice. And so for those of you that have struggled to keep your job because you didn't want to get the COVID shot, not going to call it a vaccine because that would be a lie. Go look it up, fact checkers. Go look it up. Webster's dictionary. I don't care which dictionary you use. A vaccine prevents you from getting something. The shot doesn't prevent you from getting something. I guess we sit there and should say, well, yeah, but it does decrease the severity. Okay, great. But it doesn't prevent you from getting COVID. Therefore, truth be told, it's not a vaccine by definition. So this is Jennifer Say. When I traveled to Moscow in 1986, I bought 10 pairs of Levi's in my bag. I was a 17-year-old gymnast, the reigning national champion, and I was going to the Soviet Union to compete in the Goodwill Games. Remember that? A rogue Olympics-level competition orchestrated by CNN founder Ted Turner while the Soviet Union and the United States were boycotting each other. So she was a big jeans Levi's fan, right? A huge one. If you had told me back then that one day I'd become the president of the brand, I never would have believed you. If you had told me that after achieving all that, after spending almost my entire career at one company, that I would resign from it, I'd think you were really crazy as well. Today I'm doing just that. Why? Because after all these years, the company I love has lost sight of the values that made people everywhere, including those gymnasts in the former Soviet Union, want to wear Levi's. In 2008, when I was a vice president of marketing, I published a memoir about my time as an elite gymnast that focused on the dark side of the sport, specifically the degradation of children. The gymnastics community went after her, but guess what? Levi's, they backed her up. This changed when COVID hit. Early on in the pandemic, I publicly questioned whether schools had to be shut down. This didn't seem at all controversial to me. I felt, and still do, that the draconian policies would cause the most harm to those least at risk. And the burden would fall heaviest on disadvantaged kids in public schools who need the safety and routine of school the most. I wrote op-eds, appeared on local news shows, attended meetings with the mayor's office, organized rallies, etc., etc. She was called a racist, a strange accusation given that I have two black children, a eugenicist, and a QAnon conspiracy theorist. In the summer of 2020, I finally got the call. Quote, "You know when you speak on behalf of the company," our head of corporate communications told me, urging me to pipe down. I responded, "My title is not in my Twitter bio. I'm speaking as a public school mom of four kids," which would make her a domestic terrorist, right? But the calls kept coming from legal, from HR, from a board member, and finally from my boss, the CEO of the company. This is why she turned down the $1 million severance, by the way, so she could write this article and speak out and tell the truth. I explained why I felt so strongly about the issue, citing data on the safety of schools and the harms caused by virtual learning. While they didn't try to muzzle me outright, I was told repeatedly to think about what I was saying. Meantime, colleagues posted nonstop about the need to oust Trump in the November election. I also shared my support for Elizabeth Warren in the Democratic primary and my great sadness about the racially instigated murders of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd. No one at the company objected to any of that. Then, in October 2020, when it was clear public schools were not going to open that fall, I proposed to the company leadership that we weigh in on the topic of school closures in our city, San Francisco. We often take a stand on political issues that impact our employees. We've spoken out on gay rights, voting rights, gun safety, and more. The response this time was different. "We don't weigh in on hyper-local issues like this," I was told. "There's a lot of potential negatives if we speak up strongly, starting with the numerous execs who have kids in private schools in the city." I refused to stop talking, she writes. I kept calling out hypocritical and unproven policies. I met with the mayor's office, eventually uprooted my entire life in California. I'd lived there for over 30 years and moved my family to Denver so that my kindergartner could finally experience real school. We were able to secure a spot for him in a dual language immersion Spanish-English public school like the one he was supposed to be attending in San Francisco. National media picked up on our story and I was asked to go on Laura Ingraham's show. Uh-oh, that's a problem. That appearance was the last straw. The comments from Levi's employees picked up, so they were just blasting her all over the place. Meanwhile, the head of diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's a, you got to reverse that, by the way. It's diversity, inclusion, and equity, DIE, D-I-E, at the company asked that I do an apology tour. I was told that the main complaint against me was that I was not a friend of the black community at Levi's. I was told to say that I am an imperfect ally. I refused. The fact that I had been asked back in 2017 to be the executive sponsor of the Black Employee Resource Group by two black employees didn't seem to matter. In the fall of 2021, during a dinner with the CEO, I was told that I was on track to become the next CEO. The stock price had doubled under my leadership and revenue had returned to pre-pandemic levels. The only thing standing in my way, he said, was me. All I had to do was stop talking about the school thing. Every day, a dossier of my tweets and all of my tweets and all my online interactions were sent to the CEO by the head of corporate communications. This is like brown shirt stuff. I said that. At one meeting of the executive leadership team, the CEO made an offhand remark that I was acting like Donald Trump. I felt embarrassed and turned my camera off to collect myself. In the last month, the CEO told me that it was untenable for me to stay. I was offered $1 million severance package, but I knew I'd have to sign a non-disclosure agreement about why I'd been pushed out. The money would be very nice, but it just can't do it. Sorry, Levi's. I never set out to be a contrarian, she writes. I don't like to fight. I love Levi's, and it's a place in American heritage as a purveyor of sturdy pants for hardworking on and on and on. But the corporation doesn't believe in that now. They don't care about freedom. It's trapped trying to please the mob. Are you doing that, by the way, friends? And silencing any dissent within the organization. In this, it's like so many other American companies, held hostage by intolerant ideologues who do not believe in genuine inclusion or diversity. Boom, she got it. She figured it out. In the end, no one stood with me. Not one person publicly said they agreed with me or even that they didn't agree with me, but supported my right to say what I believe anyway. I like to think that many of my now former colleagues know this is wrong. I like to think that they stayed silent because they feared losing their standing at work or incurring the wrath of the mob. I hope in time they acknowledge as much. I'll always wear my old 501s. But today I'm trading in my job at Levi's. In return, I get to keep my voice. So the question for all of us is, are you willing to keep your voice? Are you willing to pay the price to speak the truth no matter what comes your way? To stand firm as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a truth speaker. You're on the side of truth. You deliver it with love, and you got to make sure that your intent is right and pleasing to the Lord. But you speak the truth no matter what, because that's what Jesus did for us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Getting back on track here on a Monday with our good friend David Fisher. A Money Monday update and just looking at the markets today, down 171. I click on that and I go back to 5 days and I'm like, ooh, that's not good. And I go back to 1 month and I'm like, that's a lot of red. And I go back 6 months and I'm like, oh, up and down and up and down and up and down and then down, down, down. And so there's a lot of jitters in the market. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's very hard to track and follow all this stuff, which is why David joins us every week to help us understand these complicated issues and to help us to be better stewards. But before we get into the nuts and bolts, we'll go, as we do on our updates, we'll go start with the Word of God itself. This is a great chapter, very convicting, David, when we get into 1 Corinthians 13. Thanks for calling in. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, that's why you picked this. Okay. My lamp isn't always the brightest one on the street. My driveway doesn't quite make it to the street, and I'm not always the sharpest knife in the drawer. But let's start there. That's awesome. Go right ahead.
So 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, chapter 13, verse 4 says...
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Valentine's Day, love. Okay, I get it. All right, go ahead.
Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. So, for obviously, the most powerful force in God's world is love, and the most powerful force on the world is love. And it shows patience, kindness, all those things that the scriptures talked about in the full chapter of Corinthians. It's not a noisy gong, all those things. So I got to thinking, those that are us, like me and you, who are married, how do we show our love to our bride? How do we, those that are hearing my voice, if you don't have a wife or a husband in your life, how do you show the love of Christ in an agape way, you know, a brotherly, sisterly love? So I want to challenge us this day, not just because it's Valentine's Day, although it does relate, that God's love, that's what led me to the Lord. Somebody showed God's love in a practical way, and he was the dad of my best friend in high school, and because of his influence, showing his love in the form of, I'm interested in what's happening in your life, I made that commitment to Christ at a crusade one day, and love does impact our lives.
Yeah, that's right, and that's it's the ultimate trump cards, if you will, is the whole issue of love. And then, you know, Bible teaches us that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance and understanding our sin in the face of a holy God who dies for us anyway. And you go, okay, you can't really define love and kindness more than that, and that's ultimately what draws you to the Lord. It's not, for me, it was never, I understood my sin, I understood hell, I understood condemnation, sure. I understood judgment. But what really attracted me to saying yes to God was his love for me and his kindness towards me. It's just mind-boggling. And in this world right now, because there's so much dissension, it's really a great reminder of the number one thing that we can show the world in order to show him Christ. But then be willing. On the show today, David, I was talking about being willing to speak the truth. And the gospel itself is offensive to many people because you're trying to get them to acknowledge that they have a need that they can't fill themselves. But if you love them, you'll tell them the truth. And the truth is that they need Jesus or they're doomed. And that's just a great reminder today, especially on Valentine's Day, to go a little bit deeper than just a Hallmark card. So we've got, as I mentioned, a lot of market jitters last week and today. So we've got the Fed, we've got inflation, and now we've got the Russia-Ukraine scenario, which could pop in the next 2 days. I mean, that's going to be an issue as well. So what's kind of causing this? Is there a root cause? Is it a kind of combination? Is this just a really bad casserole, or what's going on?
So you said it earlier, you know, you take a look back at a day, a week, a month, 6 months. There's a lot of volatility 6 months ago. I've been saying that it will be that way. I've been saying it's not going to be the same market in 2022 as it was in 2021, and that's why we're seeing a sea of red when you look at that duration of time for the last 5 weeks. What's causing it is the uncertainty of the Fed during inflation. And so the CPI number came out red hot last Thursday. It was supposed to come in at 7.2%, which is higher than 7%, and I said it would be higher. It came in at 7.5%, and that caused the market not to go up but go down.
Yeah.
And then the very next day, the threat of war came out, or at least not with us and Russia, but Russia saying they're going to go into Ukraine. And this came from the the U.S.
Blinken.
That guy. Oh, the National Security Advisor,
yep.
Jake Sullivan. Excuse me,
Sullivan. Okay.
So he came out on Friday and he said that any day Russia could invade Ukraine, and the Dow dropped almost 1.5%, Nasdaq almost dropped 2.7%, and the Dow S&P was down 2%. So and gold shot up. So there's. The market doesn't like uncertainty, and this is creating uncertainty. So that's what's causing it. Those three things: inflation, the Fed doing something about inflation, and then this uncertainty that with Russia might going into Ukraine and the U.S. responding.
Yeah, my buddy Bill, who's always paying attention to this stuff, and he's like a stealthy researcher for me. He just put that on Facebook Live. The president of Ukraine went live and said the invasion is expected on February 16th, which is Wednesday. So there's a lot going on here, but let's tackle the Fed first. So what's the Fed saying and doing, and what kind of impact is that having?
Well, the Fed is having a private closed-door meeting today. Emergency meeting is what they called it. They've done this before. They're trying to determine how much they're going to raise rates.
Yeah.
And so you know, should they raise it a quarter of a point in March? Should they raise it a half a point? Should they raise it more than that? The last time they had a closed-door meeting was November 2015, and right after that, the Fed started raising rates for the first time since 2006. So the Fed is, I'll say this, the market is not doing well, and Morgan Stanley is saying the market's going to pull back. Goldman Sachs said the S&P is going to pull back as much to 3,600 points. It could possibly do that. So the more money is coming out of the market to cash than is going into equities. But the money that's going into equities is the retail investor, not the savvy investor. In fact, Steve Weiss, he's the guy from CNBC. He's a contributor. He's saying he has 50% of his money in cash right now.
Whoa.
So just be careful putting a lot of money or all your money in this market, because I think stocks are going to pull back regardless of what Russia does, because the Fed is going to do something about inflation now, and the market does not like that. So just be careful.
Yeah, so and the Fed's going to – that first move should be next month, right? Should be in March.
Yeah, we're 3 weeks away from it. Three weeks away. And the last time the Fed did something like this, we have three last times. We had the tech crash of 2000 to 2002, stocks lost 80%. The housing crash, 2007 to 2009, with the stock market crash also, stocks lost 60%. And a 2000 pullback in the market of 20% was triggered by the Fed raising rates. So we have history that the market does not like rates being raised. So just be careful. It looks like it's leaning towards the downside. And we broke through that magic number of the 200-day moving averages. All three indexes are down below that. And that's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing. So if Russia goes in this Wednesday, like the Ukraine president's saying, I was listening to Blinken on a live thing earlier today on my way to the studio, that's not sounding good at all. So let's say they go in, then what's the market going to do?
Well, I think the markets are going to go down regardless of what Russia does. But Russia, war is anti-stock, pro-gold, and I don't want to make that your reason to go into gold. I don't want to minimize war and say, you know, we're not looking at the focus of where there's human suffering and loss of life. That's the key. And but financially speaking, it's not a good thing for stocks. War isn't. And just to make clear, Biden never said we're going to war. He said we're going to, you know, cut off Russia in their financial in a financial way is what he said. We're not going to put troops on the ground. At least that's what he said. So, but he said we will definitely retaliate in that way. So that creates a heels digging in, which creates uncertainty, which does do well again for stocks. So historically, war is not a good environment for stock. And if Putin does what he says he's going to do, the analysts are saying it's not going to be a day or a week or a month. It's going to be long term here. So.
Jeez, we're going to be dealing with this one for a while. So how's gold and silver responding to all the jitters and what's going on, and as well as the potential for war over there?
Gold has moved almost $100 in the last 2.5 weeks. Silver's up percentage-wise more than gold. The volumes of not just the markets are up, but the volume of money going into the market is up. So metals are a good hedge, not just against the uncertainty of war, but the uncertainty of how much the Feds will raise rates. So now's the time to call, and everybody's saying higher prices in metals, and it looks like that's happening. Calling to get an investment packet on that.
Yeah, so people want to get that education. They want to find out more. Even if it's just a conversation, they're not willing to do anything right now. What should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. No pressure. Never. 844-604-2575. Call my company at 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com.
Got it. Okay, buddy. Thanks so much. And we look forward to talking to you again real soon. And thanks, for as always, for helping us understand this. I love you, my brother. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Love you too, brother. Bye.
All right, pal. Talk to you. Well, bye. Wow, there's so much going on. We'll keep paying attention to it. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.